Savvy regards to the faculty at Nemata and Sally regards to guests and visitors to the school. It's the 26th Wednesday of June 2024, and I'm here with a message from the Grenier, the attic of the Safe House in Belgium. I'll begin with a little weather report. I've stationed the boom mic close to the single window that looks out to the north so I can see the flatlands of the farm fields around me and the houses of the village. And I can see the sky. Now, the sky, actually, I'm not seeing the sky. I'm seeing the atmosphere. You only see the sky at night. So I can see the atmosphere, the local atmospheric envelope of the Earth. And what do I see? Well, I arrived here a week ago, and the weather was pretty grim. It was raining a lot. It was cloudy. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, the weather broke, and it became beautiful, warm summer weather right around the moment of the summer solstice. So I didn't really see the atmosphere, the high region of the atmosphere, until Saturday. So just picture me sitting here at this window on Saturday, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I have occasion to come and sit here from time to time, get some air from outside, and look out. Now, I am looking due north, as I said, and if you reckon to the right, which is to the west, if you reckon about, I'd say, 15 degrees off true north, you have a line as the crow flies to the international airport at a place called Zaventem. That's the Flemish name for the town. And it is, of course, a major airport hub in Europe, like Paris, like Frankfurt, Milan, Madrid, whatever you want to name. And it's about, I don't know, 20 miles from here, I guess, as the crow flies. So on Saturday, when the weather broke, I came and sat here by the window, and I looked out. It was in the morning. It was about 11. No, actually, it was about 1. I had a cup of coffee, and I looked out, and what did I see? Well, I saw that section that's visible of the beautiful dome of the atmospheric envelope of Mother Earth. And it was a blue, an azul, not too deep, a soft blue, clear of clouds, and without airplanes. Now, bear in mind, that was 1 in the afternoon on a Saturday. Can you guess how many airplanes are landing and taking off from Zaventem, 20 miles from here, at that time of day, or at any hour during the day in this summer season? So I sat here, as you know, amused and bemused, and I looked at the sky, and I asked myself, I wonder how long I can sit here without seeing an airplane. So I sat there for about 40 minutes. Not a sound, not an airplane anywhere, not a contrail, nothing. So I got up and did some things. I came back around, we're talking now, 4 or 5 in the afternoon on that Saturday, and I sat here again. No planes, nothing. So how subjective is this experiment? Later on in the evening, when I sat here, the sky was clear all day, perfectly clear of clouds. I heard the sound of some planes, but it was not strong. I've been here and I've heard the sound, you know, next is Aventem, which is the passenger, international passenger hub. There's the cargo hub. And I've been to the cargo hub. And the planes, the DHL planes and the FedEx planes and other cargo planes that fly in and out of there are enormous vehicles. And I've heard them flying nearby over the house many times in the past, very often during 4 or 5 in the morning. That's the sound of a tractor, because I'm at the open window. So I know what it sounds like to have planes in the air. Some of the planes that fly from Zaventem to Africa are jumbo jets with hundreds of people on them. I can see them take a route due south from the airport, taking off and, what's the word, accelerating. I can't speak English anymore. Rising, what is the word? The planes heading for Africa mount into the sky until they get to their proper altitude, and I've watched them, and there's nothing to see, nothing. So what about Sunday? Well, Sunday was the same, another clear, cloudless day. And off and on, I would come and sit here at the window, like I'm sitting now, and I heard nothing, and I saw nothing. Now I hear a plane. Can you hear that? But I can't see it. I can hear kind of a chopping noise as if it's going up through the ascending, that's the word. If it's ascending up through the clouds and there's a little turbulence, but there were no clouds. And I kept coming back to the window off and on, afternoon, evening, sitting here calmly. Once I saw what I think was the late flight from Brussels to Malaga, which passes almost over the house. What did I see? Well, I saw an Iberia plane, passenger jet, and it looked like a perfect little dart. It had no contrail, and it made no sound. It may as well have been a model plane flying in the sky, close by, but having the appearance of a large plane in the distance. You follow me? And so you get the picture. I'm coming over here to the window where I've set up the microphone boom. And off and on, I kind of monitor the atmosphere. So I did that on Monday. I did that on Tuesday. And I did that and doing that today. And during those times that I took a moment to give my attention to the dome of the atmosphere, I saw almost no airplanes. I think once I saw in the distance, maybe heading toward, heading from Zaventem, say, toward the UK, I saw a tiny little dart of a plane with a very short contrail. And then the plane disappeared, and there was a short contrail in the sky for a few minutes. Now, I have sat in the backyard of this house at 1 in the afternoon on many occasions and seen the entire dome of the sky crisscrossed like a tic-tac-toe board with the contrails of planes, because that's the way they fly at different altitudes, and that way they don't run into each other. Well, I haven't seen that since the weather turned on Saturday. And I'd like to draw your attention. I'm listening. Is it a plane I'm hearing in the direction of Zaventem? Maybe, but I'm not seeing anything. Here you go. Maybe you can hear it. See, I'm talking about planes, and planes are coming. How subjective is this experiment? But when I came up here a couple of hours ago with a cup of coffee and sat at this window, I noticed something, and I can still see it. It's the color of the sky. Now, looking straight out toward the horizon, It's kind of a powdery, very white, powdery blue. And then as you look up, it becomes more of a soft, beautiful, soft blue. And today there are clouds in the blue. And the clouds are like puff clouds. They're like cotton balls of puff. They're not like cumulus clouds with a strong presence. Hear that? There's a plane. That's a local plane flying right over the house, a two-winged local plane. This is very rare that this happens. So this blue I'm seeing with these fluffy little lamb-like puffs of cloud in it reminds me of something. It reminds me of the blue that they traditionally use to paint the inside of a Buddhist stupa. It has exactly that same shade. And of course, many of you know the story about the clouds in the stupa when I had my conversation with the head of the Nyingma lineage of Tibetan Buddhism. And the color of the sky today is similar to that. But on that occasion, the clouds that passed before the window we were both watching were really like painted clouds, exactly like the ones you see. They're painted according to a particular style, and they have sharp edges, rounded edges. They're like humps with flat bottoms, and they decorate the interior dome of a stupa. So I have the color of the stupa, and I have the puffy, very like a lamb clouds, and no airplanes. What can you say? It's the height of the summer season. If I went on the internet now and looked at departures and arrivals in Zaventem, I would probably see data. Archonic data. I would see a screen full of archonic data announcing the arrival and departure times of planes 20 miles from here. But from where I sit, there are no planes. So that's my weather report. Make of it what you will. Of course, it brings up that old question. And that question that haunts me and may as well haunt you for the rest of your life. I could say I've been thinking lately about a membrane, something like a membrane. So you could say that there's a membrane, like the atmospheric membrane, and its material. And that this membrane expands outwardly, so you, inside it, are looking at the concave part, and it expands outwardly from where you are. So within the boundaries of this membrane, what do you see? The natural world, the ordinary world, everything just as it is. Everything is exactly as it appears to be, and it doesn't matter whether something else, whether something extra-dimensional or supernatural is also present. It may as well not be there. Or it could be there and not make any difference to how you perceive the event of the world unfolding inside that envelope. But there's a peculiar feature to this envelope. It's like a bubble, like a soap bubble, but semi-transparent. And it has the possibility to register an image. But it's only the imagination that can see that image, not your senses, at least not your senses in an ordinary state of awareness. What happens in a non-ordinary state, that would be another topic. So on the surface of this membrane that you are looking at, There is an image that only appears if you have the power to imagine it, and if you have the power of attention to sustain that imagination. And that image, you could say, is something like a strange attractor. It's something like the cymatic design that's formed by sound when it's played on a plate with filings, covered with filings. You could say it's something like a spider web or something like the chambered nautilus. It is a zone of emergent complexity. That is the interface between the ordinary, or tonal, and the non-ordinary, the nahual. And you wouldn't even know that that interface is there unless someone provided you with a description of it, would you? Or maybe you would know. Maybe you would have detected it in one way or another throughout your life, but perhaps you wouldn't have been able to produce a clear, exact, and elaborate description of that membrane of so-called emergent complexity. So once you can see it, once you can hold it in your imagination, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at this Tibetan blue of the sky, pardon, the atmosphere. Sky is black. And I'm looking at the puff clouds. And I'm also looking at what? I'm looking at, let's say, the prospect. You know, do you have a prospect? What are your prospects in life? Do you have a prospect of owning your own home? Do you have a prospect of taking a cruise in the Caribbean, having a great love affair, writing a poem, walking with a dog? Life is full of prospects. And this is one prospect that stands apart from all others. It is the prospect of interactivity with the supernatural power of the living earth. It's just a prospect. And unless you can imagine it, and unless you have the narrative framework for it, well, you can't really know what this prospect is. And you can't really be disposed to test it, to prove it, to ask certain questions. How does this interactivity actually manifest? Does it manifest in your life? What is the evidence that there is interactivity, or as I originally called it, interactive magic with Gaia? Where's the evidence? What's the proof? And let's say that you've had evidence and you've had proof. Let's say I'm looking at proof right now. I'm half an hour away from one of the biggest international airport hubs in Europe, and there is neither sight nor sound of an airplane hour after hour during the day. Is that evidence? And what can I make of that evidence? Where can I go with it? How far can I take it? You know, the question that's going to haunt you, and it's my fault, guilty as charged, the question that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life, due to the availability of this message and these teachings, is simply, how can you play it? And how far can you go with it? And if you want to contemplate that question, then bear in mind the visualization, I'll call it that, visualization of the membrane. And the membrane trembles. Let's say sometimes it shrinks and it comes closer in toward you. And sometimes it expands. And who knows? Might be possible to go right through that membrane. into the supernatural. But whatever is happening with your experience of interactivity, or as it's now called in the big con of AI, interoperativity, whatever happens, I don't think you're going to be able to escape the question. Or let's say, I don't think you're going to be able to escape the temptation to wonder. If that interoperativity can be directed so that it provably and materially impacts the course of your life. Now, I'm not talking about anomalous evidence. There's plenty of that, and many of you have attested to it. I'm not even talking about the evidence that comes from being in an altered state of shamanic trance. Now, that's some evidence. The whole term of Gaia Awakening is evidence of interoperativity with the supernatural, isn't it? But so what? So what? How can you play it? How far can you play it? Or how does it play you? How does it play you? How does it benefit you? You know, I honestly don't know. I'm told by people close to me that, and by people who write me and people who've met me just the other day, a dear friend in Florida said that her life had been profoundly changed and affected by the Sophianic message and everything I brought into the world. And I believe her. And I believe this is true. And still, the question haunts. The question haunts me. How come I have evidence and proof of that interactivity in some ways, but then not at all. I don't have it at all. And maybe I don't have it at all in some of the more essential factors of my life. And why not? So that's the weather report from the Grenier. And you get the point. I don't have to over elaborate. I have the tendency to over elaborate, trying to break that habit. I think I've pretty much said all that I can say. I'm burnt out in some respects with what I can say. And yet, I'm still alive. And how is the remaining course of my life going to play out to show evidence of interoperativity? I don't know. You know, I'm sitting here at this window looking up 50 degrees straight up into this blue, this flawless, soft blue of the Tibetan stupa that I'm in. And I didn't command that to happen. I tend to speculate that somehow I have a part in that happening. But I can't stand here in front of this window and command no planes to appear. But somehow my presence at the window causes no planes to appear. Figure it. I don't think it's possible. In fact, let me put it otherwise. I've come to the realization that it's probably not possible for me to say exactly how far this interactivity can go. And I can't fathom it. So if you can't fathom it, then we're in the same boat. Because I really can't fathom how it works in such a way that I am confident and consistent in making it work. And I don't suppose that you can either. Or maybe you can. And it's not fair for me to say. You know, I might tend to say, well, fuck all. If I can't make that happen, then you certainly can't. But that's not true. That's not true. Just because I'm the originator of the whole program doesn't mean that the transcendent prospects that can be reached have been reached by me and me alone. I certainly have had some experiences due to shamanic discipline and due to my intimate co-autism with the planetary entelechy. I certainly have had some top experiences, probably, which you have not. But in the general sense of just living with this interoperativity, I don't know. I'm no more privileged than anyone else. And I am haunted by the same questions as you are. And that's my little message from the Safe House in Belgium for today.